It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Throughout the last 6 months of demonstrations and protests of police violence, activists all over the world have adopted the phrase Black Lives Matter. In addition to that message, you may have seen the phrases, I resolve to challenge racism and end white silence. In many cases, the people holding up signs with those phrases have been white, including Pittsburgh Police Chief Cameron McLay, recognizing that discussions of race and racism can be different when people of color are not present. What's Up Pittsburgh is a local group focused on promoting anti-racist action and knowledge. Members such as Etta Cetera and Rose Lind, who identify as white, say they are looking at ways to challenge racism in their communities, among family and friends, even within themselves. They join us in Studio A to discuss the ongoing work of What's Up Pittsburgh and the many ways they confront racial injustice. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
How and why was the group formed?
Well, the group was formed in 2011. I went to a training program in California called the Ann Braden Program, and it's a four-month-long training for white people who are engaged in social justice to really study racism and white supremacy. And I went with the intention of bringing a similar organization back to Pittsburgh. And when I came back, we had two report backs, and at the local library, and about nine people gathered, and together with nine other white people, we decided to embark on our first study group and form What's Up, which stands for, currently it stands for Working and Healing to Abolish Total Supremacy Undermining Privilege.
Someone listening to this might say, wow, training. Altruistic people need to be trained to not be racists? I mean, I look at everybody equally. What possible prejudices could I secretly be harboring that need to be trained out of me?
I think absolutely we do need to have those discussions actively. It's not necessarily training to be not racist, but to be anti-racist is a different thing. You know, what we do in study group is we read about the historical the history of oppression and white privilege that this country was built on. And given that historical context kind of lets you off the hook individually for the biases that you may have come out of that. In study group, we take that historical context and we talk about how our personal experiences have been influenced by that context. And that gives us the opportunity to figure out, well, how can we be anti-racist? How can we work against white privilege? Or how can I use my white privilege in an anti-racist manner?
And I believe the term white supremacy has come up in this conversation, and that certainly conjures a certain image. When you talk about white supremacy, what exactly does that mean? Or white privilege, for that matter. But we'll start with white supremacy.
Yeah, I would say white privilege is an aspect of white supremacy. And
which is what?
White supremacy, I think, is we need to – it's not just about the KKK. It's not just about – I actually wrote a poem that's like – it says, it's easy to point at those cloaks and those hoods as the end-all and be-all of racist no goods. But until whites awake and the unlearning starts, the KKK will sleep in our hearts. And essentially, every aspect of our history, because our country has never really had any sort of truth, history, healing, reparations, reconciliation from our extremely violent history, these things play out in our daily lives and in our institutions and in our policies and in daily interactions, and it manifests in any – so institutions are hospitals, institutions are churches, institutions are courthouses, institutions are schools.
How does it manifest?
I would say economic disparities. I would say racial profiling when it comes to police violence. I would say the disproportionate amount of people of color who are targeted by the criminal injustice system. And
I mean, think about it even in smaller, more specific ways. I was recollecting in study group last week that I, as a white middle-class kid who got good grades, I could cut class whenever I wanted, and the principal would come across me and act like I was supposed to be there. We know from studies that a child who is suspended from school is more likely to go to juvenile detention, end up in prison than someone who's not. I was treated as if I could take care of myself and was a responsible person only because of the family that I was born into, not because I was doing what I was supposed to do at that moment. That is an example of white supremacy and white privilege in my life, a small one, but that gets multiplied a hundredfold, a millionfold.
Now, you talked about a study group. The study groups are a part of this initiative, or at least part of What's Up Pittsburgh. Describe what happens in a study group. What are you doing?
Like I mentioned earlier, we read articles mostly by people of color that talk about the history of oppression and white privilege in this country. And then we come together and we talk about what those how that affects our lives personally, what our experiences have been. And it allows us a safe space amongst other white people who aspire to be anti-racist to figure out how can we break down the racism in our own hearts, that sleeping KKK. And
the what?
The sleeping KKK from Etta's poem.
Well, and is this, does this speak to the something that Police Chief Cameron McLay has talked about and acknowledged in a forum that we had here 3 months ago on police community relations? He said, you know, there is subconscious racism that we all have to deal with. Is that what we're talking about here in part, at least?
Yeah, actually, I would like to interject. I definitely, so it's like when we talk about violence, there's overt violence and there's covert violence. And the one of the type of violences that is so frustrating to me to witness is like my white friends and families and peer members thinking that they're anti-racist, thinking that racism isn't a problem, thinking it's not their problem. And while they continue to live their regular lives, they're actually harming people in the form of microaggressions, in the form of phrases, words. They're so unaware of how they move through the world because their perspective is normalized. And that's something about like white privilege. It's like your perspective and your lens is normalized. And yeah. Another thing about study group too that's really cool is we have different themes. So it's like, you know, there's a lot of educators in our circle, so we study how racism plays out in schools and educations and like what our roles are in that. We have a whole class about class and different, we break up into different class backgrounds that we were raised in and study how that plays out. We talk about our own personal family history. We do like major intensive family research where we ask our relatives all these sorts of personal history, and then we share that.
And do you invite in people of color so that it's not, it doesn't devolve into a you know, an all-white echo chamber?
Well, this is an interesting thing. So like this brings up the question of accountability, because like, oh my gosh, isn't that scary for a group of white people to get together and talk? Like, who would trust them to even know that they can see their own racism or know what to talk about? But like, we have Rose was saying, like, our readings are by people of color, so their voice is in there. And also, we are not in a vacuum, because we are in community with people of color that we rely on. They are our allies in this journey.
I think it's really important to have an all-white space to talk about racism and being anti-racist, because it allows you the opportunity to say ignorant things and learn how to not think that way or describe things in a different way, talk in a different way without worrying that you are, or not even worrying, without having the effect of causing emotional damage to a person of color if you're having that conversation with them. I also think it's really important
to unpack your own you know, inner demons and prejudices, so in a way that you're not sitting there being self-conscious and not letting it out.
Totally.
Yeah. And you're not, I mean, it's not on people of color to teach white people how to not be racist. That's
but
on
by
us.
The way, how do you unlearn racism? I mean, you know, how do you let go of it?
I mean,
apparently George Wallace did. Apparently he made a big mea culpa at the end of his life and disavowed a lot of what he said. You know, and some people forgave him, and I'm sure some people were skeptics. But at the end of the day, if you have these thoughts, how is it that you disavow them?
Well, I think you have to recognize that you're having the thoughts. I think a lot of people move to the world and don't understand that they're having the thoughts. I really believe in education, studying, like go to events. Go to community events led by people of color. Follow leadership of people of color. Listen to people of color. Put yourselves in situations where you can just do a lot of listening. Also, too, I want to say that What's Up isn't specifically white people. We have a core committee member named Anu Jain, and she is creating a people of color caucus. So there is space in our organization for people of color.
It's Essential Pittsburgh, and we are talking with members of What's Up Pittsburgh, a local group focused on promoting anti-racist action. Our guests, Etta Cetera and Rose Lind, who are members, organizers of the group. And we don't have a ton of time, but we could take a call or two at 412-246-2002 if someone has a question about what they're hearing here. 412-246-2002. I do want to ask you both about what some of the upcoming events. You have events planned for Monday that tie in with the Martin Luther King holiday. What are some of those?
So there's a giant march that is being led by We Change Pittsburgh and the Thomas Merton Center that's popping off at 6 p.m. in Oakland on Forbes and Bigelow. And What's Up is one of maybe 30 different organizations that's sponsoring the march. And people are going to be marching from, they're going to be listening to speeches and then marching through Oakland, through the hill to downtown.
Rose, it sounds like it's going to be a busy day.
It's going to be a great march.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. There's going to be like 20. I know that we need 25 at least What's Up people to carry our bright light up and white silence sign. We could talk about white silence.
Well, before we do that, I'm curious about whether what kind of feedback you've gotten from people of color about this particular endeavor, about What's Up Pittsburgh. What are they saying to you about when you say, hey, you know, we make it an all-white event with people trying to come to grips with their own racism or inherited, perhaps, you know, in the family tree, as it were. What do you hear from people?
They say that's great. We wish more white people would do that work.
Yeah, I think a lot of times people feel relieved that they don't have to be the ones, like, educating white people and they can just point them.
Let's take a call. We have Tyler in Pittsburgh. Tyler, we've got about a minute here, so go ahead and join our conversation quickly if you can.
Hey, how's it going? I'm a graduate student at Pitt, and I just had a question for the organizers. If they feel like racism is an innate feature of, you know, the white culture, like are you born racist, or how do they feel about that?
Hmm.
I think that if you are born in the United States of America, anyone who is socialized here breathes in the pollution of racism. So it is every part of our culture and is every part of our aspect. So I would say that every member of our country is exposed to racism, and that manifests as internalized dominance, that manifests as internalized racism and people of like internalized racism for people of color.
If you're asking if it's genetic, no, I don't think it's genetic, but it's everywhere, pervasive in our culture.
It happens through socialization.
Yeah.
Certainly some food for thought here. And Tyler, thank you for that question. We have run out of time, unfortunately, but it's an interesting discussion and an important one. And I want to thank both of you for coming in to talk about What's Up Pittsburgh. Again, it is a local group focused on promoting anti-racist action. And we've been talking with members Etta Cetera and Rose Lind. Thank you both for being here, and best of luck on Martin Luther King Day with all of your activities.
Thanks.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. And Monday is Martin Luther King Day. We will have special holiday programming. I will be back on Tuesday with another edition of Essential Pittsburgh. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.